It's a good day. Amen. I want to have a little bit of time of prayer. And we had some conversations from last week, what had taken place, and the moving of the Spirit, I believe. And I think God talking to myself and just some things taking place that, and confirmation, as I was coming out today, I said, Lord, anybody said Lord on your way out to church? Lord, show me something today. Speak to me something, Lord, of encouragement, of direction, of what you want me to hear and to know that we're doing what you want us to do. Isn't that encouraging that God wants to do that for us, you know? And how simple it was, you know? And I thought, I said, Lord, you have to use people, because that's how you basically get things done on this side of heaven, is you use people. You move through them. You work through them. They are your hands. They're your voice that is used to speak what you're wanting maybe someone to hear. And because I didn't really think that as I'm driving out here that I'm going to hear just an audible voice from God going, this is what you're doing, or this is what I want you to do, or this is what, blah, blah, you know. It's like, you know. Now, if a clap of thunder had happened about that time, I might have drove off the road into the river. I don't know, like, you know. But anyway, God speaks to his people. And from last week a little bit, and I've been sensing, and I was reading some things and just scriptures, and last week it was time to slow down. I just feel like we're just going fast, 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 or I'm maybe doing that and trying to do too much and continue to minister the word of God. And it's not that it's just one of these things. You kind of get between and betwixt, you know. And so Wednesday night at prayer, it was a wonderful time, and I kind of shared a little bit, and I think we discussed some of those things, time with the Lord. And even for our church, even for myself, any one of us, to slow down and to be sensitive to God. And then Janice today. Janice, you don't know what you spoke back there towards the end of Sunday school. If I hadn't been sitting down, I probably would have fell over, you know. But you had shared. Testing. Is this on, Tracy?
Just at the end of what you were sharing about, I think, slow down or take time.
At the end of our chapter on Romans, it was the Lord spoke to me, and I wrote it down because Pastor said that he asked the question, does our prayer have urgency? And so I wrote that down. But then the Lord, a little lighter, says, slow down and listen to me. And this morning it was the same kind of thing. He went during devotions. It was like he would like us to hear as a corporate body also to just have a moment or more of silence and just listen for him to talk to us so that he can work in your life and then as a corporate body. And that's what he was saying to me today is that. And so I didn't know about Wednesday night. I didn't go. I had other things that had come up. So I didn't know what was said. And Pastor looked at me as if he was going to faint. But I didn't know what I had said other than what God had told me to say, or what I had told to me that he wanted me to slow down. So.
That's good. Well, that is good because and normally Janice is there every Wednesday, you know, unless something comes up, but I would say very, 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 very regularly there for prayer. And then last Wednesday she wasn't, and then she comes in today and speaks that. It's like, I take that from God, amen? And for her to sense that within the Spirit. So that's what we want to do, is slow down, slow down, slow down. Because even churches, and I think you made a comment to that, even in our corporate time, we need to slow down. It's like, oh, okay, Lord, I'm hearing it. Now I'm hearing it again. It's resonating with others. And so God uses that, and I appreciate him. And thank you, Father, for listening and answering my prayers. And so we want to take time for that, and we got to do that. What I would like to do just initially right now is do you have like an instrumental? I think TJ had some things back there. And just put an instrumental in. I would say maybe for just 5 minutes, at least, if we can take 5 minutes, I'm not going to say nothing. You get with God and just listen to him, just worship him, whatever you like to do. Thank you. Father, may your Spirit continually minister to us and speak to us. Let us hear from you, not just here in service, but throughout our days, Lord. May we remember to take time to find some still time, quiet time, alone time with you, Father, so that we can really hear from you. We love you, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't hear any snoring. That's good. And if we would, I guess it would have been, they're very relaxed before the Lord, you know. Because even in your dreams, he can speak to you. Amen? I've had some dreams and things that it's like, oh, okay, Lord. As we get ready to go on here in just a little bit, anybody have anything they'd like to share? Not necessarily just coming out of this time of just sitting before God, but if so, that's okay. If you want to share something that he spoke to you. Or anything to testify, maybe, of what he's done or has done in something, in a situation in your life. I want to give opportunity for that as well. Again, you know, we need to hear those testimonies, because it's showing those around us, it's letting those around us, and especially those that are unsaved or outside the realm of Christianity, when you share a testimony in a circle like that, it really gives an amplification to what God is all about and how much he loves you and takes care of a situation that you may have. So any thoughts along a testimony? If not, that's okay. I'm just here to kind of have, it's open mic Sunday. How's that? Okay. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You got something?
Before last Sunday occurred, the Lord had already been starting to talk to me about being still and knowing that he is God, that it's in that stillness is where we meet him. Otherwise, we're just going about our business. And the other thing that can keep us from him are maybe we've done something wrong, or we just feel condemned for something. And there's a scripture in Isaiah 30, verse 15, that says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. And that the returning is repenting. You're turning back to God. So in returning back to God and rest, you shall be saved. And in that quietness and in that confidence shall be your strength. So if we're going about our day and never spending alone time with the Lord and allowing him to minister to us and we minister to him, then we're not going to grow and get strong. We're always going to be weak. And I'm talking to myself as I talk to you. It's not me preaching. Isaiah 30:18 says, blessed are all those who wait for him. So that would be resting, sitting, spending time with him. And then verse 21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or wherever, whenever you turn to the left. So in that quiet time, you're going to learn his voice. And then when he speaks to you, he can give you direction. If we don't take the time to sit before him and hear his voice, we won't know what to do in the crucial times of our life or in that moment when he wants to use you to minister to someone else, because
you won't do it. You'll think it's you, but if you know it's God, you're more apt to step right into it, and then the adventure begins. So I think his desire in these days, he wants us to get closer to him. He wants us to sit with him and rest, wait on him, turn to him when we, instead of running from him, which I'm a runner, because I'm harder on myself. So then I think I need to run because I don't want to face him. He wants you to run to him. To him. He wants to hug you. He wants to talk to you about it. He wants to help you. And so I just want to share that today, because that then when Pastor had his sermon last week, that he was really talking to me. And so all of this is just kind of flowing. It's flowing out of the Spirit of God. So I just want to encourage you all to take that time and spend it with him.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Linda. Oh, and it's confirming of a confirming of a confirming type thing. As God begins to speak to one of us, as we're in his body in unity, generally we'll start other ones kind of reflecting it, and they'll be sensing that same thing. And they'll say, you know, this past week in my quiet time, God was sharing this, and I don't believe it's just, yes, it's for me personally, but also I felt him say something corporately about his churches. And it's not just Harvester's Church that needs to slow down, but it's his churches, I think, in general. Our churches out there, as I visit with our pastors and all, there's just always something going on. There's vacation Bible school for the kids. Very good, very important. There's this ministry going for this group. There's that ministry going for this group. And we've got this coming up for leadership. And, oh, we're going to have some time over here for another time of gathering. And it's like, my goodness. And really, I didn't receive this sitting in prayer with the pastors. It was something that I just received on my own for our work here. And I think it's something that God has to put into each and every one of us. He's got to put it into his pastors, per se, but he puts it into the body of Christ out here so that we're kind of all beginning to get on that one page. Because when you're on one page together, you can see things accomplished. And what I was looking at this past week and reading was in Psalms 23, and it just came across there, and that's the Lord is my shepherd, you know? And we read that a lot at funerals and things like that. It just happens to be because he's there for us, you know, as we're going through low times and things like that. It's not that it's for that person that's passed away, because they're already safe and protected in heaven. But this is a scripture. This is kind of talking to, I believe, those of us that the Lord is the shepherd of his people. And he wants to take care of us because he knows how important it is. He calls us his sheep because sheep are, you know, they're kind of like they don't know what's, they're not really always, they're not the brightest animal. Okay? And they need help. They need nurturing. They need care. They're wonderful. They're good. But they just need some attention. And so we are his sheep, and he loves us. But as he talks about, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I think today's age is we have gotten, in our churches, we have gotten into want. We want bigger this. We want newer this. We want this. We want that. We want to do so many things. Even in the areas of we want to reach further out in the community and do more. We want to spread the gospel, or we want to have a outreach over here and one over there. And, you know, when we look at those things, those aren't a negative thing to go out and share and to be stretching outside the church. For sure. But sometimes when it gets to be, that's all you're looking at, that's all you're trying to strive for, to go out there and to do that out there in the highways and byways, that's good. But what about the quiet times before God? What about the sitting still? So as I'm reading this, and we've got a, I shall not want. How many here, we go day by day, we want stuff, you know? But then 2 and 3 is where it really hits, and just kind of, really just 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Lush. You know, if you look at that green, it's pastures of tender grass. As we were all kids at one time, And I have found myself, you know, if I can get down and get back up. But have you ever gone and found like a shaded area somewhere and the grass is like a carpet? And it's just the right length, it's the right texture, whatever it is. And if you ever get to that point, remember as kids, you could lie down in that grass, right? And it was kind of like refreshing. It was just like, it was kind of cool, it's under the shade. It was kind of whatever, cushiony, it's just one of these things. And as you look at this, he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. We've got to lie down in green pastures a lot. To be refreshed, because then he says here, he leads me besides the still waters, or the waters of rest. It's very important that we rest. Jesus, he had to rest, amen? During the times of his ministry, of those 3 years or so that he was really out there doing tremendous things, there was times that he said, I've got to go away. I'm going to go up on the mountain. I'm, you know, minister to the people, the Beatitudes, the way to pray. And then he went and healed this and healed that. But then there was those times he said, I want to go across the lake. I want to go and get away because of rest. He knew that he needed to take time with God. Even in the garden before the crucifixion, what did he do? He went into the garden because of the weight that was upon his shoulders. But he knew he just needed to get away from everybody and just sit there and just talk to the Father. Have you guys gone into that garden recently and just sat there and knelt down or just sit in a chair? And have you talked to the Father and said, oh, Lord, you know, I know this is a tremendous load that you want me to do. And if it is at all possible to take it from me, I would like you to do that. And it's not that I'm going to be hung on a cross. Sometimes the load that we carry in life, in general, gets to be heavy, doesn't it? And it's like, Lord, if you can take this from me, would you please do it? I'm ready to give it back to you. And then, you know, but not my will, your will be done. And so Jesus rested. We're finding here in Psalms, he makes me to lie down in that tender grass. He leaves me behind the waters of rest, or leaves me beside the waters of rest. And that's what we have to do. We need rest. The church at general, I think, needs rest. I know there's a lot to be doing, but there's also times to rest. And then also, just looking throughout the times of rest, but in Matthew 11, Jesus starts at 25. The heading there tells me Jesus gives true rest. Now, he's coming off of doing tremendous things. If you would just page back and all that he was doing and all that he accomplished, then it comes down to the part of Matthew 11:25. And he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And then he's talking about all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then he's continuing on saying this in 11:28. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. He's speaking here, of course, into all the Jewish laws and the restrictions that they had. They were a people that were just heavy laden, burdened down with this is what you need to do to follow God. This is what you need to accomplish. These are the sacrifices you need to do. This is what you have to take place if this happens. This is what you need to do. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what's required of you. These were all these Jewish laws and legalisms that they put out there. So in contrast to the heavy burden of the Jewish legalism, Jesus is calling for an open, free, and just a relationship with him. He is saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Could you imagine as a people having to meet the marks of all the things that you were required to do legalized-wise or legalisms through that group, that now you've got somebody saying that, come, follow me. My burden is light. I'm going to give you rest. Who wouldn't want to go there? Amen? But Jesus is saying, I will give you rest. And then in 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. I am gentle. Another word for gentle is, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, for my burden is light. It's really not hard to follow Jesus, is it? He's telling us there, it's not hard to follow me. I'm not putting a burden on you. You know, church, slow down. Pastor, slow down. Congregation, slow down and listen and follow me and look what I have for you. For my burden is not heavy. You need rest. Now you look at that area of a yoke, and for those that of us that weren't on farms and raised back in those days, but you can read up on a yoke was basically to put two oxen or two animals of some sort together so that they could work together, or that here's my yoke. It's upon them to work, and they'd work in tandem, and the strength was there of, I believe, as far as you look at that too, is that they were in the same step then. They stayed together. The one oxen didn't get ahead of the other one. The other one didn't slack off. They kind of kept pulling that plow at the same pace because they were working in unity, and they're working in harmony. And it's all because of that yoke. Now, also, it's sometimes you could think of it as a burden. You know, some people might look at serving God as a burden. Do you ever sense that or feel that it's a burden? Because it seems like he's putting so much on me that I can't do it. There's just no way. How am I going to get this accomplished? Well, we find out that if we surrender it to him and turn it over to him, he's saying that my yoke is easy, Tim. It's not just all for you. It's just not all you're having to do. Or put your name in that place, wherever God has you at that place in your walk. It's not all on your shoulders, you know, to do these things, that I am there to help you, that I am there to make a way. I am there to take that load from you. My yoke. I am gentle. I am lowly in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so I think as I have kind of hit upon that, and like I say, really looking at Psalms 23, about times to lay down, or times to sit maybe, and to sit and rest, and to sit and listen, and to know that he leads you beside those resting waters. And we know a lot comes out of waters, doesn't it? I think Linda shared even in Isaiah there as she read some of that. And then we find out, you know, the rivers of living water that's within us. You know, there's so much water talk with the things of God. And it's all for life. It's all to bring forth things of abundance, things that are at the right time for the right place for the right season. And so I think there's those times we got to sometimes step back or stop a little bit and say, okay, let's take a check and see how things are going and where things are headed. And where we've come from, amen? And God is there to do that. And so today, I appreciate that. I was going to share even a little bit today, three areas, praise, worship, and prayer. Those areas are all important. When we praise him, when we worship him, and when we pray to him. And really, as far as trying to get into it, I think I'm going to hold off on it. I'm going to rest. We're not going to try to cover ground faster than we should. Maybe this next week back when we come together, I want to share. And it's really not that much. It's only two pages. But it's the areas of praise, worship, and prayer. Because I think those are areas that we need to always be in. And if we're not there, we need to get back to them. And it's not just Oh, well, don't we have praise songs that we sing when we come together? Don't we have worship songs that we sing? Yes, we do. But there's also sometimes that individual praise, individual worship, as you yourself are just one with God. Amen? And where you're at. Because as we look at it, I think it was even shared last, maybe Wednesday, one of them said, like, well, gosh, Pastor, you know, you feel like, and it is, you've only got like maybe an hour, hour and a half to try to put a lot of stuff out there because, you know, we don't have a Sunday night. You don't really have a midweek to come back for Bible study or to follow up. It's just Sunday morning. Just think of that. A few years ago, I had put together a little thing on our overhead, and it was like how many hours or how many days in an hour or how many hours in the day and we spend with God in a week, you know. And it's kind of a scary thing if you only spend time with God on Sunday from 10:30 to 12. You're not going to get much of him, amen? And I know most of us, and I'm honored, and many of our people here spend more time than that with him on your own time and your free time that's out there at home and your own Bible reading and prayers and meditations, and that's good. But, you know, there's always somebody out there that this is about it. This is the cherry on top. This is all they get of God on a weekly basis is about 45 minutes. And they're struggling. And they're battling. And life is not so good. And life is a struggle. And nothing seems to be going my way. And I just don't understand why the answers aren't there. And I don't know why I feel this way. Why is that, God? I come and I spend 45 minutes a week with you. It should be better than this. Yeah, I would tell you, you're probably blessed that it's not worse than that, really, because that's really not a lot of time with the Heavenly Father. In your family dynamics, if husband or wife or if kids and family or grandparents or whoever, if all you spent is like one day in the entire year with somebody in your family, how would that go as far as developing a relationship or just knowing how they're doing? Not very well. Or what happens if it was just one day every couple of weeks that you spent with someone in your family? It wouldn't be very well. Oh, you'd get together and have fun and you'd talk and chit-chat, you know, but you wouldn't really know how really things are going. It's only when it's kind of like a day or every couple of days or a few times a week that you get together by conversation on calling or the telephone or texting, you know. We had a text come through yesterday from one of Dean's side of the family about a situation, and she thought she had just texted just the one that she was sending the message to, and it was for everybody that was last on her text list, I guess. And so all of a sudden, all these phones are going bing, ding, ding, ding. You know, every time I get a text, my phone, ding. I always tell Dean, cookies are done. The baking is done. Ding. And so she goes, oh. As people started responding back to her, she goes, oh, I really just meant this to be for the one sibling. It's like, well, it ain't now. It's all over, you know. So I sent a text back, and I said, well, good morning to you. And continue on your talk. I said, this is just the modern-day version of the party line back in the old Ma Bell days. You just have your conversation with your one sister or whoever, and we'll just read along with you. But be careful, because it's going out to everybody. Boy, the slip of the finger, amen. Woo! You got to be careful. You never know what goes out there, you know. And you're thinking you're just a conversation there. So it was just generally how things are going, and it was some situations that way. But anyway, but if we only talk to God once a week, if we only get with him once every 2 or 3 weeks, you can kind of see where that distancing gets there. And it's not God's distancing. It's our distancing from him. And isn't that amazing? We can come to our church service every week. Even every week you can come to a church service. And even myself, I can come here every week and go through the Bible and read this. And here's some scriptures. And here's what God was showing me. But if it's just to pass out information to help you, but it's not really being done in a way of sitting before him and just taking a rest with him, it gets to be nothing more than just what? just the dog chasing its tail. Here's some more stuff. And that's kind of like what I shared last week. It's like after a while, I just really was beginning to sense, just it hit me like a boom, that you're just sending out so much and we're trying to cover this, trying to get this out there. And it's like it might be the driving force in me, but it may not be the driving force in you. And if you're sitting out there and you go, well, great, here's another week of finding my niche with God. I can care less of my niche in God. I think I know where I'm at with God, or whatever the case might be. It's like more information that's really just going in one ear and out the other, and you pay your tithe and you go home. And it's like, well, what was accomplished, you know? So I think there's really a lot more accomplished in the quiet times with God. Now, I'm not going to say that our church services are going to go from Sunday morning messages to just come on out here and we're just going to sit quietly, unless the Lord would say that to two or three of us, and it kind of confirms something that I've sensed in my spirit. Then I'm going to say, okay, and you guys are going to understand this, you know. But this is what God is wanting out of his people, to just come and take time with him, because how shameful it is, or how it is that maybe we can't find the time in our own time frame at home. Maybe when we come together, we can do that here, you know, find 5 minutes. Maybe the services will start that way, 5 to 10 minutes in the beginning, you know. Maybe rather than having leadership or all this sharing type thing, maybe it'll be come in, have some song, and just sit still for 5 or 10 minutes and say, okay, now, let's open up the Word of God. Let's hear God today. Because he loves us. Because he has us predestined. And it goes right back into, he does have that special place he wants us in. And as it was conferred back in the Sunday school hour there, you know, you almost know when you're getting ready to go back around that mountain again. You know, you just know it. You just know it because it's like, I think I'm starting to recognize this again. And you can do one of two things. You can say, okay, Lord, enough is enough. I hear you. I'm ready to go to that next level. I'm ready to go up the incline, whatever you want to look at your mountain to be. But I got what you're saying, Lord. And thank you for being loving and patient with me, because I've been around this same mountain 5 times now, but you've still been my loving Father. And every time I came around, you might have said, and I didn't hear, have you learned something yet, Tim? You've been around it 4 times, you know. Here's the 5th time. But I am thankful, and I do know I serve a loving God. And I do know I serve a patient God, long, long suffering, because of his love for me, his love for you as well, his love for his churches. You know, Jesus died for the church, really, you know, to send the good news out, to have people come to that understanding. And so he is a long suffering and a patient God. And I'm sure I've used some of his patience. How about you? So he loves us. I would encourage you to continue to just pray throughout the week. There's just, I don't know. It's almost like it could be 24/7 prayer with all the things that we hear, you know. And you never want to say, I thought I heard it all. But boy, it gets even worse, you know. It's just, okay, here we go. But God does have everything in control. But I think above getting involved in even the world things and the things that are happening, our first stop has to be with him. And we have to first come into that atmosphere. Build your atmosphere here, Lord. Let thy kingdom come here, Lord, so that we're hearing from you that will address. And I'm concerned, yes, what goes on out in the world and throughout my nation and my government and all these things and jobs or health care. You can be concerned in those things. But I want to be much more concerned with, how are my actions reflecting you, God? How am I doing with you one-on-one? Am I taking that necessary time to hear from you? And when I hear from you, am I following your words? Or if it's something that I hear that I don't like, I put aside and say, well, that must be for somebody else. You know, that's where you get intimate with God. Get close to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I pray that this week that the Lord will lay you down into some green pastures, in some tender grass, and that he will lie you down next to some resting or refreshing water. And when that happens, you'll know it. Amen? When that happens and you come back and wake up or whatever the case is, you will find that you have whatever it is, energy for the rest of the day, energy for the rest of the week. You will find how much God can do in just a short time. I don't think it takes a long time. I don't think we need to be 45 minutes or 50 minutes. Whatever God puts on you to say, hey, take this time just to be with me. You can actually sometimes do some activity to a point and keep your listening ears open to God. Because sometimes that activity takes you away from other stuff, you know, and you're not going to really hear the phone ring. You're not going to hear somebody knocking at your door or whatever, you know. You're just going to be kind of there, but not really there, and listening to the things of what God is saying into your heart. And just say, here I am, Lord. You know, there's many times to just get out here for myself, just to cut the back area of the church for an hour, hour and a half sometimes, whatever it is. It's just sometimes I just say, here I am, Lord. I just want to go brain dead, you know. Hopefully don't run into a tree. Dan will be upset. What happened to that? No, the tree, he'd say, that's good. Get rid of the tree. It's a tractor. What happened to the tractor? But you just get out there and you get lost in that time. It's kind of like white noise, I guess, you know, or whatever that is. That's just some kind of background noise, the running of the engine. And it's like, okay, Lord, you can just speak to me. And he does those things. And he can do those with you, I'm sure. Amen? So, Lord, my prayer for our people here today, Lord, is to have them lie down in your green pasture. Lord, that you would lead them beside the still waters. And it continues on, that you will restore their soul. Yes, Lord. So, Father, as we come to this time, that truly is on my heart. And for myself included, and for those that aren't here, Lord, it's going to be hard for them to hear what has been spoken, but I would ask you, Lord, some way that you could speak to them through the Spirit. But for us that are here today, Lord, I just pray that for all of us. Find this week a time of resting with you, a time of recharging our spiritual batteries with you, Lord. To find that rest, to slow down. Not allowing the world to creep into your kingdom and to your churches. Trying to put us on a fast track of covering so much ground. So that we can accomplish this, that, or the other in this year or in this calendar or whatever the case is that we put these agendas out. But just to sit before you, refresh us. Refresh us, Lord. Yes. Father, like that of a spring that has dried up, Father, I pray that that water would begin to just gurgle out of that ground. Maybe for some water that has stopped flowing and has become stagnant in our life, Lord, that whatever has dammed it up, Lord, that that would be broken and that we would again sense and see and feel the living water just flowing through us, Lord. Waters, waters, waters through us. Because, Lord, we know in water there is life. There is many, many organisms that live within that water. It's an interesting thing, Lord, that we can go longer without food than we can with water for our cysts, our bodies, Lord, before we we would die. Water is so important, over and above the food. So, Lord, may your water, may your springs from heaven flow within us, stirring it up, Lord, one more time. Thank you, Father. It's not like the race we're on, Lord, is a timed race with you. It's just that we need to finish the race. It's a cross-country run. But for us, it's not that we're being timed. We just need to be faithful to complete it. We thank you, Father. Lord, for your churches here in town, for our church here on Cemetery Road, may you pour your Spirit upon them. May you refresh us all in the churches in our community. Refresh this church, Lord. Yes, Lord. Even now. I think, Lord, as I look back in the last several weeks of the amount of rain that we've had, and so many times I've gone out afterwards, Lord, and the rain has rained enough that it's soaked the ground to where the ground can't receive any more of it. It's standing there waiting to be received into this earth, Lord. May we find that in your springs, Lord, as they come upon us, that we just begin to get filled more and more and more with your living water, Lord. And that there's such a leftover amount that, Lord, it just keeps soaking in and soaking in. We thank you for the refreshing of the rain of the Spirit. Refresh us now today, I pray. Reinvigorate us all, Father, into the things that you would have, for the things that we are still to do, for the things that you want to accomplish in us and through us and around us. Father, I pray for that individually. I pray for that corporately. For this church, Lord, continue to minister yourself here. Speak to us. Speak to us through those that attend. I thank you so much for my sister Janice, Lord, as she shared your voice with me today. What a blessing. And who would have thought, Lord, as I was coming down that road, and I just had that little bit of quiet time between my house and here, and I just said, Lord, I need to hear from you today. I need you. Because, Lord, we want to make sure we're doing what you want us to do. Because if we're on our own trying to fabricate our own whatever it is in your kingdom, it won't come about. It won't last. But if it is your ways and if it is ministering the way you want, Lord, you will be there and you will oversee it and you will complete it. And we praise you for that, Lord. Oh, how faithful, how faithful, how faithful you are. We praise you and glorify you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.